Now, I want to talk to you for just a second. I want to prepare you for what I want to share with you today. Just such a powerful time in God's presence all day today. I told the first service, I said, I feel inadequate to share with you what God has been showing me. When you say you feel inadequate, you're saying, God, you chose the wrong person, is what that means. It means like, I don't know if I'm the right person to share this. And when you confess, this is what I've realized, when you confess your inadequacies to God, then the focus shifts. Number one is you can't rely upon your own strength. You have to rely upon God's strength at this point. Number two, you have to go in empty, hoping and praying God fill you with his power. That's what you do. My declaration is what Paul asks this question in 2 Corinthians 2:16. He says, who is adequate for such a task as this? And then he said, only those who like ourselves are men of integrity, sent by God, speaking with Christ's power, with God's eye upon us. And then he says this, very strong words. We're not like those hucksters, and there are many of them whose idea in getting out the gospel is to make a good living out of it. Folks, we are at a time of desperation. We don't have time for selfie green room Christianity. We need an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit today. So with God's help, I'm gonna ask you, in my own weaknesses, I'm gonna ask you, the words of C.S. Lewis I held on to. He said, Lewis said this, if we only have the will to walk, God is pleased even with our stumbles. So I'm gonna probably stumble a lot today, but I'm gonna try to walk what God has put in my heart, something I saw. I wanna talk to you about something I felt like God showed me. I see a storm coming. It's gonna become, I believe, even confirmation for some, not just to America, not just to New York City, but the different parts of the world, some major cities. And I believe God is gonna speak to us today. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, we're not here. God, we realize you have placed this church right in the middle of the crossroads of the world. And the last thing that we have, that we are gonna do or be are those hucksters that Paul has talked about, trying just simply to make a living off the gospel. We are here because we are in a battle, Lord God. You chose to put us right in the front lines. And I thank you for these soldiers. I tell that choir all the time that they are singing soldiers. And I thank you for them, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing and how you have been with us all day. Now I'm confessing my inadequacy and saying, God, unless you show up, then it's a lecture. It's just of words on a page. But Lord, if you show up, I'm praying, God, that you would blow through this sail. Let the wind of God come here. Go right into this heart and soul of people's lives, oh God, around the country and around the world. Help me to articulate what you showed and spoke to me. I'm praying for your help today. Come, Holy Spirit. I need your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now, I have to do this. I know it causes a little bit of commotion. I have to dismiss the choir. The screen will come down. They've been up there singing all day today. Been early here for practice. It's so important. They're so faithful, so faithful. While they're leaving their seats and going down, would you at least greet about three or four people while they are leaving? Just tell someone, I'm so happy to see you here. Even at 1 o'clock, I'm happy to see you here. Thank you. I see a storm coming. I believe it's gonna be something that you will bear witness with for those that have been praying, for those that have been watching, for those that have been watching in a sense, like Paul said, and praying. You'll see the signs of the time, see what's happening and what God is doing. I wanna take you to the Old Testament and where this thing began to open up to me. I wanna take you and show you a contrast. You're gonna see a king, a politician, and a prophet. King Ahaz and the prophet Isaiah both see the same storm coming over their nation. I want you to hear me clearly. Israel is in trouble on every front. in Isaiah 7. Israel is in trouble economically, they're in trouble politically, and they're in trouble spiritually. Let me say that again. In this chapter, this nation is in trouble economically, they're in trouble politically, and they're in trouble spiritually. Does that sound awfully familiar? This is so important for us to hear, because what we are faced with and where our nation is going, we're finding that the hinges are coming off economically, politically, and spiritually. You have a national debt that is skyrocketing. You have a political system that is broken in this nation. And you have the spiritual part is, you can have people talking about church planting, but we're dying with even morals in our society. There's no more moral compass even in our society. And it seems to be getting darker faster. In Isaiah 7, the leadership is paralyzed with fear because an impinging enemy is camped outside the city waiting to attack. It says this in Isaiah 7:2, when it was reported to the house of David saying, the Arameans have camped in Ephraim, his heart, meaning Ahaz, that's the king, his heart and the hearts of his people. Now watch the image that the prophet Isaiah gives to us. He says, his heart and the people shook as the trees of the forest shake in the wind. It's such an incredible image as Ahaz and a nation shake with fear. What a detailed description. But Isaiah's response to what he sees of this encroaching enemy is different, because Isaiah is different than Ahaz. There's no shaking in Isaiah. In fact, soon as you go from the words of the people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind, the very next verse says this. There's something solid that comes to the soul of Isaiah when it says, then the Lord said to Isaiah. These are the key words, that something came in. There is cement. There's weight that comes in. And he says, you go out to meet Ahaz, the king. You and your son share Jashub. And at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And then he says this to Isaiah, and say to him, take care and be calm. Have no fear and do not be faint-hearted because of these two, and then God calls them out, stubs of smoldering firebrands. Says, you're shaking for an enemy that I am greater than these people. That if you trust me, I can bring a victory here. And in fact, he goes on in the next chapter, and he says to him this, you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. This is God speaking to Isaiah now. And he says, it is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread. And he says, then when he's your fear, he shall become your sanctuary. He shall be the one that you rely upon. I'm going to give you a question and answer, but I'm going to have to elaborate on the answer because it won't make sense. What was the difference between Isaiah and Ahaz? I'm going to give to you that it was 8,000 pounds, and I'm going to tell you why it was that. It's something that is a story that I read that it's so important, and I'll explain the 8,000 pound in just a second. See, God gives Isaiah a word from heaven that begins to remove this fear and prepare him for a coming storm. Isaiah stayed in the presence of God while Ahaz was shaking with fear. And it's because it is getting darker faster, Ahaz doesn't understand what Isaiah understands. As Isaiah is praying, as they feeling the shadow of the impinging enemy, the shadow overwhelming them, in the middle of the shadow, the dark spots, God speaks. I think of the words that the Lord spoke to Solomon when he was telling him in 1 Kings 8:12 that the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. That when God brings you into a dark area, God goes, I'm not missing, I'm still there. I'm still in the midst of that. Though you feel like you can't see anything, God goes, I'll give you a word in darkness. I'll give you strength in darkness. I'll give you what you couldn't have gotten in if you were trusting in your own. That's why God sometimes turns the light off so we can see parts of God that we've never seen before. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? Every night, God turns the lights off so we can see more of what he has done in creation. You can't see stars in the daytime. You can't see the moon in the daytime. So God goes, I'll turn off the lights and show you something that you've never seen before. And he does the same thing for us. But the difference between Ahaz and the difference between Isaiah was this image of 8,000 pounds. Let me explain. I read an article this week of the story of Michael Plant, a popular American yachtsman who commenced this solo crossing, just him alone from on the Atlantic Ocean from the US to France. It would be him that would cover this 6-8 weeks. I'm not sure how long it was. The sailing community said that Michael Plant his skills were without equal, and his sailboat called the Coyote, they said was state of the art. So what you're taking is you're taking the man whose experience is above everybody else and whose equipment is state of the art. 2 weeks into the voyage, something went amiss. Plant and his sailboat were lost at sea, and the Coyote was found floating. This is the part I want you to hear. It was floating upside down. And the crew of a freighter 450 miles north of the Azore Islands found him, but there was no sign of the sailor Plant. Everyone in the sailing world was stunned when the Coyote was found. Not just that Plant didn't make it and they couldn't find Plant, but they were shocked that the Coyote, the sailboat, was upside down. It says, this is a boat that does not capsize. It's not a boat that you would find upside down. It says, these boats are built to handle the most rigorous pounding a sea can offer. They said, even if the waves pound or whatever it goes through, a storm pounds against it, it may turn it over, but it comes right back up. Every single time, it comes right back up. But how do they never capsize? And here's the part I want you to hear. I learned as I was reading the article, they never capsize because they have more weight on the bottom than they do on the top. The Coyote has attached to it 8,000 pounds of weight underneath it, that when it gets hit by a storm, it comes right back up. The weight was below the waterline. The waterline is where you see the boat itself, but underneath there was 8,000 extra pounds to face any storm or any pounding of the waves. Why did this boat capsize? They said when they found it, the 8,000 pound weight that was attached to the bottom of the boat was gone. The 4-ton weight was simply missing. And when the 8,000 pound weight below is missing, then the boat is at the mercy of the storm. It's at the mercy of the waves and the pounding that begin to hit it. What was the difference between Ahaz and Isaiah? Ahaz gets hit with a storm and capsizes. Isaiah has an 8,000 pound word from heaven in his soul that when the water hit, it may have seemed to knock him over, but he comes right back up and says, God says, don't fear. God says, don't be afraid. God says, if you want to fear, fear God, and he'll be your sanctuary. Hallelujah. He said, that's what God does. What God does to his people is attach that weight so you can go into the storm. Folks, that's where it starts. This week in New York City, this Thursday's storm, people just thought it was just a thunderstorm that was coming down, but that wasn't some ordinary rainstorm that we faced here in New York City. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of the pounding rain, people looked out from Queens and Long Island and saw funnel clouds, tornadoes beginning. Folks, I'm telling you, strange things are happening with the weather. Do you know we had an earthquake the last couple years in New York City? Last year, I think it was 4.8 was the earthquake. Everybody's going, get out of New York City. This hold on for a second. Because if God's given you the weight on the bottom, you can face what's coming in this city and what's coming in this nation. It's not just, when people looked up, it wasn't just dark clouds with rain. They were watching destructive forces come with them that was going to go down the beach, the Rockaway beaches, and begin to go through and destroy things that man made. And here's what's amazing, because there is a storm coming, but I'm telling you, it's not normal. As you're looking at the rain and you're looking at where we're at politically, spiritually, and economically, folks, it's almost as if I could begin to see that there's also funnel clouds beginning to form that says anything that man would build and hold on to, God can take it out just like that. God can begin. So what do we do in those situations? You get 8,000 pounds upon you. You say, God, I need you. I need a word from heaven. I need to find your presence, because when those things strike and those things hit, God, it may knock me over, but I'll come right back up because I have God who is in my soul at that moment. It took 7 looks for Elijah's servant to see a special cloud amidst the dark clouds that were coming their way. Elijah kept saying to his servant, go out and look again. Go out and look again. Those aren't normal clouds. If you keep looking, you're going to find God in the darkness. Look at this. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and says, there's nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And that's where Elijah was trying to show him, though it seems like a storm, don't miss God in the midst of all this. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. Elijah was trying to show his servant that even with this weather pattern, even with what's coming, in the darkness of the storm, there is the sign, there is the man's hand in the middle of all that. Just when you think, God, what's happening? Look for God in the midst of all this. Don't miss God. God will hold you. God will keep you. God will sustain you in the midst of all. And God will open his eyes, your eyes, as you're going through this very thing. I told our staff recently, I said, I believe that as we continue to pray, we are going to see God begin to come through and bring an awakening to some of these cities. But it will start with prayer. But I said, but there is going to come a storm. There's going to be a fight. And I said, the fight that I said I want you to keep your eyes upon is this. I said, some of us, we're going to be facing, there'll be sickness or loss that we're going to be facing. And sure enough, we began to hear all of it. We heard diagnosis and grandparents passing, brothers passing, organ transplants needed, heart issues. It just didn't stop. It came in like a wave. I said, this will be the enemy's deterrence deterring you from seeing that hand of a man that God wants to bring. There will be dark clouds to discourage you in the fight, but look for God. God dwells in the darkness. God's not afraid of the darkness, and God will be there. And that's why I believe God is asking us and churches all over America and all over the world to get that 8,000 pounds strapped onto our churches. When we go into a storm, if we are not weighted down with the word of God, with prayer, I'm telling you, you are going to see what we would call today evangelicalism. You'll see it capsize into compromise, capitulate into what everybody else is doing, and even cower to standing firm on biblical principles. That we have to raise up a church and a generation that will hold on to God's word, even when the storm is coming our way. It's when God wants to come. Because without a prayer meeting, our city has no protection for the coming storm. We have no weight for the ship, the weight for the church, the weight on the bottom is going to come. Listen to me carefully. The weight is going to come through prayer, through people seeking God, through people getting a hold of God, Folks, this is so important, whether it's the noon prayer meeting, whether it's Wednesday night worldwide prayer meeting with Pastor Carter Conlon. Folks, I'm telling you I'm not angry, I'm concerned when I see the church moving in the wrong direction. They think that if we do a conference or if somebody preaches or if somebody just sings, that's going to prepare us. Folks, it is a diversion from the church praying again, for getting on our knees. I'm telling you, I've never heard, there's so much happening on stages today. There's all this movement and singing and everything. And I've watched the churches. I've watched that everybody's jumping on a stage and everybody in the audience just staring at them. Like nobody's doing anything. They're all spectators. And I'm going, something's amiss here. Because it's not a song that can begin to awaken the church today. There's not a song, there's not a new song that can be written, folks. All of this stuff up here, the screen, you can have churches with smoke and serving lattes. That doesn't change anything. Understand something. That's until the church prays. Folks, you can hire, you can build, you can come up with all of your church planting conferences and go, we got to get this on the stage and you got to dress like this and you got to get your hair cut like this and you got to don't shave, and you can do all the stuff you want to do. Folks, I am telling you, we need an awakening again that's going to start with prayer. And I tell you today, if you're part of a church without a prayer meeting, get out. And here it is, quote me. Because you won't face the storm that's coming your way. Can I help you for churches that are going, why is everybody jumping here and everybody's staring at them? Can I help you on how to get a worship service? Here it is. This, get your phones out. Take this, leaders, whoever you are. This is your verse. Here it is. Psalms 22:26. Those who seek him will praise him. Those, you want to see God move in the praise service? Start a prayer meeting. Those who seek God will start praising God. You can't praise him with just props. You need a church that seeks the Holy Spirit and seeks the presence of God. That's the 8,000 pounds. That's the 8,000 pounds. This is nothing. This is nothing without prayer. This is nothing. Why do you think we tell you, come 15 minutes before? Because we need to pray. Don't come late to church. We pray for 15 minutes before you come. We're praying on Wednesdays, praying on Wednesday mornings and Wednesday nights. Why is this important? This is the 8,000 pound weight. A city was going to be under judgment, and everything was happening as normal in the city called Sodom. A storm was coming and no one saw it. No one saw the storm. Jesus tells them that in these last days, it will look like that. It will look like those moments when everybody is doing their business, but no one notices the clouds that are forming or the funnels that are happening. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 17:28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. Lot was in Sodom. They were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed, or the Son of Man comes back. This was just amazing to me. That it was business as usual. No one saw the storm. No one saw what was forming. Everybody was buying, planting, building, selling. Everything was happening. You can buy and sell. If you want to know where that happens, just go down to Lower Manhattan. If you want to see building, just go all throughout New York City. And planting, everything was taking place, and no one saw the storm. And I wonder, this is just me thinking out loud. I wonder, could there have been even religious centers in the middle of Sodom? that were just doing services and doing ceremonies just like normal. And nobody saw what was coming. While they're watching podcasts and doing everything that everybody else is doing, it takes two angels and a praying uncle named Abraham to rescue a family. Two angels from heaven, and they didn't even get him out without a fight. They had to drag him out by his hands. They had to grab him, and even not everybody made it. One turned to salt. And all of a sudden, we think to ourselves, can this actually happen? Pastor Tim, are you just yelling at us? Folks, I'm telling you, there is a storm coming that we have got to begin to say, God, speak to us. God, we're gonna get on our knees. God, we wanna be ready. That no matter what waves come our way, it may begin to turn us over, but we're gonna be right back up for God and believe in these last days. We're living in a time that we've lost a moral compass. It's like Sodom. I was reading the newspaper just a few days ago. There's voted in officials that are now telling the public, if you need items, it is okay for you to go into stores and steal them if it's necessity. This is our officials. These are the ones people have voted in. Folks, it is insanity today. And for us to just continue on without seeing a storm, then we become like Sodom. Even Lot didn't know about a firestorm coming unless the angels came. Lot would have burned if it wasn't for Abraham and those angels. Abraham praying for him. Listen to these words. Listen to this. Genesis 19:27. Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the valley, and he saw, behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Look at verse 29 again. Let me read it to you out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. It said, but God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities of the plain. Do you understand that your prayer life could literally be the shield of life and death with people? Do you understand how critical it is for a church that prays that would begin to recognize that just a grandma, a mom, praying for a daughter, praying for a niece could be the very shield that we want to come to church, just sit there going like, oh, the choir's done, I want to get out, I don't want to listen anymore. And we're missing what the 8,000 pound weight. Church can't do it for us. We need God to visit us again. We need the presence of God to come again. It was the prayer of a man that rescued this family. Talk about the power of prayer. I received this from our online volunteers that are working and praying. I'm so grateful for all those nations that tune in. We have an incredible team that begins to speak and pray with those. And I heard the testimony of an online college professor who was crying out for help, tuned into Times Square Church and was crying out for help. He was at a breaking point, and this college professor attempted to take his life. But by God's mercy, he survived. Our online team kept praying for him, and prayer broke that spirit of suicide. Prayer broke that spirit of death and gave him hope. What God has done for him wasn't through a service. It was through the prayers of people standing in between life and death for this man. And he wrote to our team, and they sent it to me. And they said I could read it to you. They said this: it's a year this month that I attempted to take my life. While things are not perfect, they are much better. There is more peace in my heart. I cannot tell you how thankful I am for you and TSC. This is nothing short of a miracle. There is still the occasional hiccup, but I know God is for me. I don't think I would have said that a year ago, but God is for me. Hallelujah. Do you understand as I brought to you 3 weeks ago, this little 27-year-old girl in the Netherlands who scheduled for September 1st for assisted suicide because the Netherlands hospital said, we have no more hope for you, that what you're feeling in your mind, there's no more medication, there's no more counseling. She signed up and they said, yes, we approve you to take, that we will kill you. We will take your life for you. Folks, that's why we are stopping and praying that September 1st never comes, that God upends that suicide death of that hospital in the Netherlands, and that little girl one day will stand here and tell a testimony that people prayed and stood between me and death, and God showed up at that moment. Why else would we come to church if we're not here to save lives? Folks, just pray right now. Father, for this young lady right now, I pray, break the spirit of suicide. Break the doctors that signed the papers of assisted suicide. Break it in Jesus' name. I pray that this young lady find life. She finds Jesus. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that she might have life. Send life to the Netherlands. Send life to save. I'm even praying not only save the girl, save the doctor who said she can do that. Save that doctor. Let the doctor now begin to feel the power of life coming upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This is so important. We did something last week only for prayer purposes. We did both services, and on Tuesday night, we said, how many have not been born in the United States? And we saw so many of you stand up in each service. Couldn't believe how many are here that are from all over the world. When it was all said and done and the dust cleared, just in this building on a Sunday is 106 different countries, 106 different nations that are represented here. God would put this place right here just blocks away from the United Nations, that in about 3 to 4 weeks, the world will come together. The world will come together. 193 nations will come together on First Avenue. And it's there that they will come and meet nations that are at war, nations that are in conflict with each other. There'll be lockdowns and security. And are we just here just to have church? But we did this because we believe that we want to send out people to pray at the United Nations. Folks, it's the only thing that can work. So you sit there and go, well, if I can just talk, you can't talk. Can I just tell you, no, there's no ambassador or prime minister who's going to listen to you. But God will listen to you. And so you talk to God, let God talk to them. Let God get, you don't need an audience with them. You need an audience with God. I need an audience with God. So what does that mean? There are 193 countries that are represented at the United Nations, 193 nations that will be there. And we're asking people, we're asking for 193 or even more of you. We'll give you some of you will take the same card. We want to send you there. You'll see it on the screen on September 5th. We're going to begin to meet here at noon and go for 1 hour, and we want to begin both online. You could be part of this praying from your nation, but we want to begin to take all 193 nations and pray for an awakening. Pray that God would show up. How many would say, I want to be part of that? Would you raise your hand? Hold those hands up. Okay, keep them up high. Here's what you could QR code. Is that up there? QR code that. And sign up. We need you for 1 hour on Saturday. Folks, I'm telling you, prayer can change things. It's the very thing that the Bible talks about. This is so powerful. It could begin to change and go through where the borders say, we don't allow the gospel to go in here. We don't allow the power of God to come. We don't allow Jesus to come here. I'm telling you, there is no closed borders to Jesus. He can go wherever he wants to go. I just received this. I got a testimony from one of our connect groups that Stan leads, who was up here for mid-service. I can't mention the name of the group due to security reasons because they're afraid that the government can figure out where they are in their location. They said, I can tell you the country it's in. The amazing thing is that it's one of our connect groups and they have people all over. Well, one of their members is from Iran that's in the connect group where we launched the Farsi channel just a few months ago to minister in Iran. And here's what they said. This is individual is one of our online connect groups. He says, we're not permitted to baptize new believers. So we had to figure out what to do for those that are getting saved. So the Lord led us to a public swimming pool where we baptized somebody right in the middle of Muslims swimming around. He said, I don't know if God just blinded their eyes, but whatever he was swimming, in the name of the Father, the Son, and then all of a sudden it was done. He says, it was as though no one even noticed that someone was being baptized in the name of Jesus. 4 days later, the Lord had another surprise. An ex-coworker from a strict Muslim family who had believed in Jesus a year earlier after I shared the gospel with her contacted me. She had been struggling in her faith and said she needed help returning to the Lord. The next day, we sat in a car. Here it comes. We prayed. Suddenly, in the car, the mighty Spirit of God fell upon her, baptized her. She began speaking in tongues and was delivered right there in that car. Listen to this. 5 days after that was my sister's turn. She had been a believer for years, but there have been very few places where she could be baptized because men and women can't use the same swimming pool together in our country. The Lord led us to a particular mountain and we found a river. We baptized her there. The following day, we met with our TSC Connect group, read about God's perfect timing, Galatians 4, and God was telling me, you will always find water in the deserts. I'm telling you, God can work miracles. Lot never saw what was coming. He just lived his life, didn't pay attention to the decaying morals of a city, just didn't care. But it was prayer that had to get him out. Abraham heard about a storm coming and prayed. And that's why I want to tell you, listen carefully, that sometimes the voices that are crying out to get you out, to prepare you for the storms that are coming, may not match the majority. It was G.K. Chesterton who said this. He said, therefore, it is the paradox of history that each generation is converted by the saint, the man or woman who contradicts it most. Keep that up there because I want you to see that. He said, it's usually the voice that nobody else, that everybody else thinks, well, they're crazy, they're out of their mind. Folks, look at times for that dissenting religious voice amongst all the influencers of the popular. Find that voice. I think our founder, I think David Wilkerson was one of those voices. I think Brother Dave, when everybody else was going, go here, he was warning them, saying there's a storm coming. Pastor Carter was one of those voices. God has always used in the past this pulpit that sometimes to even be a dissenting voice to what's going on, the patterns that's taking place, so we don't miss the storm. There is a storm coming, not only to this nation, but to this city. I've never said this before, but there could be only about 2 or 3 years that God, that we'll use for preparation. We'll see the finishing up of leadership and years of political office and all those things taking place. And I think you may get another year of maybe some momentum. But I'm telling you, folks, you'll face some personal storms for God to teach us to attach that 8,000 pound weight to say, God, we'll be ready for whatever comes our way. Folks, I sense it that the next wave of even national and city leaders in major cities are not going to be friendly to the things of God. Things are going to turn in a very ugly way, and it's going to need a church that is willing to stand for God. A church that has 8,000 pounds attached to it that says we will not turn, we will not cower, we will not back down, and we will not compromise. There will be things, I'm telling you, there'll be people that you think should be elected, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a firestorm. It's going to come, the darkness, a storm that is coming. And I'm telling you, this is not the time to say you're a Democrat or Republican. It's time to say, I want to be a woman of God and a man of God. I'm telling you now, church, God will raise up a people. He'll raise up a remnant. There'll be people that will try to tell you just that you don't have to shake with fear. Don't be controversial. You don't have to take a biblical stand on this. You shouldn't even speak that way from your pulpits and all those things. Folks, I'm telling you, it is only going to be those that will hold on to what this word says that will be able to stand. I felt strongly more than ever in my life, we will be part of helping nations all over the world. We'll be right in the Middle East. You saw it in Lebanon. We are moving and doing work in Iran. If there's an earthquake, we're working to find out how we can be a blessing to Venezuela, how we can be a blessing. We're even looking into ways for Colombia and anything that's happening around the world. We're trying to find what does God want us to do. But I'm telling you, it is not going to be popular. And I will say this because it is one of our foundational, biblical foundations all the way back to the book of Genesis. This church will not budge on the nation of Israel. We will not budge on the nation of Israel. Folks, you can walk out, you can yell, you can, you folks, you can, listen, you can, even right now, go ahead, type stuff for me. Type things against me right now. I'm not even gonna read it. So just understand, it doesn't affect me. You know what I'm gonna read? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that simply says this, whoever blesses you shall be blessed. And whoever curses you will be cursed. Look at me for a second. Look at the people, watch their lives for those that curse Israel. Look at the people, watch their lives. Watch what happens to them. Folks, in the midst of this, it is not popular to stand with what God blesses. It is not popular. And folks, we're not here to be popular. We want to be people that are standing in the middle of the storm of what's happening. Here's what the Bible says. Isaiah 1:9, unless the Lord of hosts had left a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. You know what the prophet Isaiah was saying? He was saying he puts a people in between death, in between judgment. He puts a remnant in between there. The people of God is the blockade between your country and the spirit of Sodom. That's why we plead with you. We plead with cities all over the world. Start a noon prayer meeting. Pray for your city. Pray that God would bring an awakening. You don't need to tune in here. Start a prayer meeting where you are. Ask God to come and bring that awakening. While people are trying to find those ways, here's what I realized. When you find that man's hand in the middle of the darkness, I'm telling you, you will get a word that will keep you in the middle of a storm. Let me explain to you as the musicians come, as we get ready to close. Listen to this. One of the greatest prophecies for humanity came in the midst of this. One of the greatest prophecies to all humanity. So while Ahaz is shaking like a tree in the wind, the people are shaking like a tree in the wind. God says, I'm gonna give you a word in the darkness. I'm gonna give you a word. Folks, while you're looking for Christmas trees and everything else, the verse that everybody uses on Christmas is right came at one of the darkest times of Israel's history. Listen to this. So while they're shaking in their boots, God, this is what God says to them. Ask me for a word. Ask me, Ahaz, ask me for a word. You can read it. Ask me for something. And this is what God does. God goes, here's your word. Therefore, the Lord himself, I'm gonna give you a sign. A virgin will be with child. She'll bear a son. She will call his name, come on, everybody, Emmanuel. God, he says, I want you to know that I am a God that will be with you now. I'm a God who's gonna send his son to die for you on the cross. I will send Emmanuel. Just when you think all hope is lost, don't forget, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. That's where this word comes. This word comes when God challenges Ahaz, says, ask me for a word. And I believe God is pleading to us today. He's pleading to the church around the world. Just ask me. Ask of me. Watch what I can do. Just ask me. Don't sing. Don't just do activities. Ask me. Pray. Get on your knees and watch what I can do. I am not angry. I just see it coming, folks. David saw what Isaiah and Abraham saw. David saw the storm of the wicked coming in Psalm 55. Listen to what he said. He said, give heed to me, answer me. He's talking to God. I'm restless. Am I complaining? I'm distracted. Why is he distracted? The voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. He talks about this voice of the wicked. He talks about the pressure, the voice of the enemy, the pressure of the wicked, and the grudge that evil people bear against him. He has those three words, the voice, the pressure, and the grudge that begin to come against him. He says it's like this disturbing and exhausting when you have it. And that grudge is when the enemy turns against the godly. And it's amazing today. Did you ever notice it seems like every law they pass is for ungodliness today? Let me say that again. Every law they vote on is for ungodliness. It's we're the grudge. It's a grudge to look at the people of God today. I felt like David after a while. I was in, for 24 hours, I was in Minneapolis this week. I was speaking to leaders. And the oddest thing happened. I got out of the car for the morning session. When I got out at this the building we were holding it in for all these pastors and leaders from the Bible school and seminary, all these folks, it was an odor I just never, I forgot what it smelled like. I got out of the car and it was like I smelled freshly cut grass. I said, the only grass I smell in New York City, they just made legal. I said, and they have all the shops with freshly weed they sell. And I said, to smell grass, like real grass for the first time, I said, it was just like, wow, there's like grass that you can smell today. And you know what? I felt like David. You know what David said after the pressure, and the voice of the wicked and the grudge? This is what he said in verse 6. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and be at rest. I'd wander far away. I'd lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge. I want to get out of the stormy wind and the tempest. When I smelt that grass, I said, man, I like that smell. I said, it seemed peaceful. And David says four times, I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to a place of refuge. I would fly away if I had just those wings of a dove. Anybody ever feel that way? I'm ready to move. Anybody ever just, I used to tell Cindy, someone asked me, they said, do you ever feel like you want to leave? I said, every week. I told her one time, I said, just have Hawaii call me. I said, just have Hawaii call me. I'll be tempted. I mean, I'm going to stay. But I said, but we all, everybody feels that way. Everybody, anybody with me each week? You want wings like a dove? You just go in like, or maybe wings like Delta? Anybody like that? You just go in like, I want out. That's David. Then something happens. Team, come on, you guys come. Then something happens. He's going, this voice just keeps pounding at me. Don't say anything. They're going to write you up. Don't say anything. If you say anything, they're going to put you on file. How many know? Okay, just, they're going to put you on file. Don't say anything, because then, you know, and even in ministry, if you preach, if you say anything against this thing or anything against this, nobody's tithing. You're going under. I'm telling you, it's like this voice and this pressure and all this stuff that comes. And you have to shake yourself free from that. And that's what David does. All of a sudden, in the midst of this, that I would have wings to fly. I'd get out of here. I'm just tired. And then all of a sudden, like, wait. Says, that's not me. That's not what God has raised up. God has been speaking to me. I've got 8,000 pounds strapped to me. I've got a word to be king. I've got a word that I'm supposed to, I'm a man after God's own heart. I can't let evil and wickedness determine what I'm going to do. I can't let them put the, I can't let the darkness of a storm. I've got to find that man's hand in the middle of that storm. And David did. In the middle of going, oh, that I had wings like Delta. This is what he says. He said, and it was like this moment of Joshua. When Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all over Psalms, David goes through these moments. He gets in these haze, this dark place, and he has to shake himself. He has to shake himself. That's what I'm hoping this service is, to shake you out of this. That we're here for a reason. And then David shakes himself. He says, wait. I don't need wings like a dove. And then he says this, as for me, that's Joshua talk. As for me, I shall call upon God. And the Lord, hallelujah, will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I'm gonna complain and murmur, but he'll hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them. Even the one who sits enthroned of all, I will call upon the Lord to save me, and he will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. David just gets that. He gets these moments. Listen to it. Psalm 55, 16. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. What David says this, I will pray when it gets dark. He says it again when he's faced with the enemy. Isaiah 59, 16. He goes into moping, and then all of a sudden he says, wait. As for me, I will sing of your strength. I'm going to sing loud of your steadfast love in the morning. Psalm 31, 14, David is faced with the enemy again. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. And I say, you are my God. He's faced with the wicked prospering and him going through battles in Psalm 73. And he says this, but as for me, for me, it is good to be near God. I'm not going anywhere. I have trusted you from the beginning, and I will trust you till the end. And finally, he says this when faced with the enemy. As for me, I will always have hope, and I will praise you, hallelujah, more and more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to end service a little bit differently today. I told you the story about a pastor. I look at him as an as for me man. Because an as for me people means we fight for healing and awakening, deliverance and salvation. We fight for the revival. We fight for God's power. I want to introduce you to an as for me man that I told you about. Pastor Rob pastors in Washington, D.C. He is a generational pastor, not just him, but his brothers and sisters are in ministry. And when I found the word out that I told to you and told him, I said, I want you to come because we are going to fight for you. Rob was diagnosed a few months ago with ALS. And folks, unless a miracle comes, then folks, man has no more hope for it. And we're praying for that miracle for Rob. I listened to him preach a few weeks ago in DC. That man not only preached, but I saw the altar call. I couldn't tell you how many were there, but his pastor told me how many. He said there were scores of people at the altar. And that man, talk about an as for me man, that man, he said, he did not leave until he laid hands on every single person that was there. That the enemy is encroaching against him. The storm is coming. And somehow, Rob Schmidgall just shook himself and said, as for me, I will sing. As for me, I will praise him more and more. As for me, I will pray. As for me, I'm drawing closer to God, not backing off from God. Why? Because that man, from when he grew up, had 8,000 pounds strapped to him that said, you're not going anywhere. When that storm comes, you're going to stand firm. And wickedness and that disease has a grudge against him, wants to steal his voice, wants to steal his life. But we are going to stand today. I said, I want you to come because we're going to stand for a miracle for Pastor Rob Schmidgall, his wife, Nicole. In fact, I'm going to invite him on this stage. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask Pastor Rob, I want his brother to come and Pastor Joel, they pastor in the same church, his son Zeke, all the kids are there. But here's the other part. Amanda, I want you to come with Caleb and Madeline. I want you guys to come. Come join us on stage. Because this part, I want you to help. Jeanette, would you help Amanda? Just make sure she gets up. I want to make sure. Can we take this now? Thank you. I know you were ready this time. Thank you. So can we end fighting for somebody today? Okay, come up here. So there are three kids, okay, and we're gonna do something I didn't expect. Move closer. You guys come on this side, because I want to get Amanda closer. You come on this side, Zeke, Pastor Joel. I want you to stand next to Pastor Rob. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why this is important. Amanda is one of our precious volunteers, been on staff with us here at the church. And it looks like her diagnosis that the doctors, can I mention to him? Is ALS. This is the body of Christ. We're gonna pray for you for healing. Then I'm gonna ask you to pray for Amanda. I'm gonna ask you with the comfort you've been comforted with, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you are to pray that as we stand with you, I want you to take it, put your arm around her, and you and Nicole begin to pray for the healing of this precious girl and this precious family. We have two of her children here. You guys, is it six? Six, that's what I thought. This is just one third of their family. This family, I look and I go, six. This is, and then they have three. This is the Pastor Joel and his son Ezekiel. I told Ezekiel when he told me his name, I said, with a name like Ezekiel, you'll never backslide. You can't go, you wanna smoke cigarettes, Ezekiel? This doesn't work. You gotta have to live for God. You named him well. And so you have three of their children are upstairs. Trudy, Rosie, and Bert are all up there. And we wanted them to come in. And we want, these are as for me people. These are as for me. And there's gonna be moments you're gonna have to shake yourself. And we're my elder, and Ngozi, you come too. Ngozi, you come. Jeanette, you come. I'm gonna need your help. Cindy, come on. Elder Vicky, Ricardo, you come. We're gonna get ready to pray. We're gonna get ready to lay hands upon them. But let me tell you, this is a moment. This is the altar call. This is the moment. We're gonna fight in prayer for them. Can we believe that God can heal ALS? Can we believe that? So everybody say this with me. Pastor Rob. Everybody say with me, Amanda. Now, I want you guys to see this. How many will commit that you would begin praying for them? Would you hold your hand? Keep them up high. Okay, look, I want you to see how many people are gonna be standing with you. Around the world, type it in. And so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna anoint them with oil. Where's oil? Oil, do we? Oh, come on, Lorenzo. Come on, Lorenzo. Thank you. I knew it was somewhere, I just didn't know where. Elder Chooks, you come and help me as we lay hands. We're both anoint them with oil. So as we begin to pray, we're gonna begin to lift our voice and pray for a miracle today. Folks, they are in a storm today, but I believe you can see man's hand, the size of a man's hand coming, and we're gonna believe for it right now. So church, come on, let's open our mouths. And let's just start saying, God, you're great. God, you're mighty. Tell them how mighty God is. Declare the mightiness of God. Declare that he is greater than ALS. Declare that his name is above every other name. Come on, declare it right now. So in the name of Jesus, I anoint Pastor Rob. In the name of Jesus, I begin to anoint Amanda. And I declare today that the name of Jesus, there is no other name higher than Jesus. Jesus' name is higher than cancer. It's higher than diabetes. It's higher than any blood disease. It is higher than ALS. It is higher. So whatever disease, whatever diagnosis a doctor says, we declare Jesus is higher. Jesus is greater. So Father, I thank you that you are a healer. You are a healer for Rob right now. You are a healer for Amanda right now. God, I'm asking you that the Holy Spirit would begin to come right now and begin to do something powerful upon Rob and upon Amanda. I'm praying, God, that your Holy Spirit would begin to bring healing right now in Jesus' name. This church, come on, let's fight right now in prayer. Let's fight. May they see the hand of a man in the middle of the darkness. A hand of a man, a figure coming, saying, you are gonna walk. We come against that, those legs losing strength. We come against the lack of communication. We come against the neuroscience that says that it's gonna affect you up in your mind. But God, we're praying strength for the muscles, strength for the mind, strength for the legs. Oh God, I thank you that our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So God, we're standing today for a miracle for Rob and for Amanda over their families. Right now, Lord God, over their families. Father, for the precious little children, we lift up Rosie, Trudy, and Bert. We cover Nicole right now. We cover her right now. Hand of God rest upon her. Father, upon Amanda and all six of the children, upon Caleb and Madeline right now. Hand of God, I pray that you would clear up their mind. Clear up their mind. Clear up any controversy they have with God. With God, with God. Clear up their minds. God, you're in charge. You're in charge. You know what you're doing. So, Father, we're believing right now over all six children, over all three children, for a miracle. Now, church, we didn't even plan on this, but I'm going to ask, you're going to hear Pastor Rob begin to pray. This blesses my heart. Pastor Rob, I want you to pray for Amanda, and I want you to pray for healing just to come right now over her.
For your presence. We don't seek your power. We seek your presence. Because everything that we need is available in your presence. And so God, we seek you. We pray for healing in the name of the Father.
Yes.
And the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Touch Amanda.
Hallelujah.
Glorify yourself in her body.
Yes, oh Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift that hands. Let's sing that song. Come on. Help me, Elder Vicky. Help me. Come on. You know this song, church. Come on, sing it. Hallelujah. With his blood. I say thanks. Lead us in that, Elder Vicky. Come on. Sing that. Sing that.
Can I say thanks, God, for the things that you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet still you came to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee.
Come on, let's lift our hands and begin to declare, to God be the glory. Second verse, Elder Vicky.
Just let me live, oh, my life, and let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any pride, oh, let it go to
just the voices, just the voices. You sing it, church. Sing it! This. How many are committed to praying? We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight until we hear the testimony on this stage. We're going to hear a testimony that God heals, that God heals, that God heals, that God heals. Now, before you go, I know we're late. When the curtain closes, the team will come up. The red coats will come up and they'll start to pray for you, the red shirted team. But if you need healing in your body right now, lift both those hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, those hands are lifted up. Our God is a healer. So Father, we're going to believe right now that your spirit is going to heal bodies in this place. We're going to declare today, as for me, hallelujah, I will pray. As for me, I will sing. As for me, I will draw near to God. And as for me, I will praise Him more and more. Glory to God. You're a healer, work miracles. And we bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Tell somebody God is great, God is mighty.